Blog Talk Radio.
I would love to say that we had music ready for today, but we just don't.
Oh, we were too busy gossiping. We're sorry.
Well, no, the switchboard just decided that just as the show loaded, it was going to take all the tracks away.
Did it?
Yeah, and then it decided to put
love that.
Mm-hmm. So, good morning to you all out there in Twitterverse. I guess I'll
good
throw
morning.
On. We'll throw some of this on. So glad nobody's paid attention to the lyrics to that song yet, except for me.
I have not.
Yes. I'll type them to you in a minute. See what the chorus says. And you'll be like, oh, we've been playing that all this time.
That's awesome. See, I love it when we get those sneaky ones in.
But look, I'm typing it to Ginger now.
I hear that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see it. Alright, I've got it pulled up. So, just waiting. So, good morning. Happy Tuesday, folks. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And it is us. And, oh my God. Come on, Skype. Did my whole computer just lock up? Can you hear me?
Oh, I hope not. I can hear you. I'm dancing over here. You don't hear me snapping?
I hear you snapping. Oh, Skype. What are we doing, Skype?
Skype is like, no.
Skype is like, yeah, I don't think so.
You can look at it later. It's okay.
I may actually have to leave Skype because I can't do anything.
It's all right. I got this until she gets back. All right.
Okay.
Ginger has gone. We secretly replaced Ginger's Skype with a new Skype. Let's see what happens.
They probably did those sneaky messages. Told it to close, and it's just sitting here. One of those days.
And it's Tuesday. Uh-oh. Here comes the tweets. Jay says he definitely understood the lyrics to the song. He's appalled for a Tuesday, but not really. Yeah, we were planning to keep that for a nighttime show, but every now and again we like to throw it in. Whew. Good morning to you all out there. Ginger will be right back after these messages. Well, there's no messages, but still, she'll be right back. So we got lots of juicy, delicious news this morning, but I want to wait till Ginger gets back because I need to hear the reaction. I want to hear her reaction. I want to hear you all's reaction. There she is. Hey,
there I is.
Hey, Ginger. Y'all have to say her name, Ginger. Y'all can't say it, Ginger. Yeah. She's Ginger. If you're from the country, it's Ginger. So, if I may, jump right into the fray.
Ooh.
What? What happened?
Ooh. Interesting. Sorry, I was reading the...
Oh, the lyrics?
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Yeah, that's a risque song. It's not entirely dirty, but it is a little... It's a little dirty. It's got a little ring around the collar. So the big news this morning is Mr. Molyneux's comments about Microsoft. You know, Peter Molyneux.
Yes.
Who is a true player. Player. tried to get me drunk. Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Nah, he just offered me a drink and he wanted to take pictures. He's a ladies' man. He wanted all of us around him.
He wanted to take pictures, did he?
No, not those kinds.
Uh-huh.
He wanted us all around him so we could all take a picture so he could look like, you know, the Hugh Hefner of gaming. And he is rather smooth. You know, you got that French accent working for you. Just a little hint of it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come and you'll stand next to me, huh? You want a drink? Yeah. Yes, Peter, I do. No, he doesn't talk like that. But anyway. I'm sure. But he was trying to get us all to stand around him. There was a picture taken. I was on the phone, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
See, I heard that I was on the phone, and I was like, oh, is she going to say the floor?
No. mm-mm. You will never see me on the floor doing a picture. Now, turning around, showing off the, you know, the biscuit. Yeah, I'll do that. There's a bunch of pictures. That is my signature pose. If you happen to see any pictures of me at events with a bunch of people, my signature pose. I'm usually not meaning for anybody to snap the picture. It's usually for a laugh, but somebody always manages to catch me. Anyway, so Peter Molyneux is saying some very interesting things about Microsoft. He did an interview with GI.biz, and he was prefaced with a general question about Sony, and he was asked basically what's going on at Microsoft and their relation to Sony, and he said that they obsessively watch Sony. That's right. Overall, he believes that Sony's own first-party studio system could be its savior, but he's not sure the company's corporate troubles will enable them to fully flourish. He said Sony has always had a very strong first-person lineup, which he thinks is incredibly smart. He said they've got good developers. They've got some very talented developers. He says, in the way I feel with Sony is that they double down on those first-party developers, give them the headroom to be inventive and creative, especially when it comes to any next-generation platform, then they could pull lots of rabbits out of the hat. He says, what I worry about with their corporate pressure and the pressure on costs, I worry about the ability to do that more and more. This is a personal thing. I just don't know where they're going in hardware terms. They've had the move, but it wasn't as early as the Wii, and it wasn't as innovational as the Kinect. They seem to be third in line in that race. I have expected every single press conference for the last year, Sony to bring out the magic rabbit from its hat and say, aha, world, you really don't realize what's going on, and I do worry about them. When Mr. Molyneux sized up Microsoft's E3 showing, he commented, I thought it was a very smart move on their behalf to focus on demos. And actually, I thought EA's line, you're going to see 10 great demos from 10 great developers. You could have said the same for Microsoft. I thought there wasn't nearly as much stuff as previous years, which was a little bit of a surprise and a shock to me. He continued. He said, I like the smart glass thing that they were talking about, but I didn't completely understand it. He said, I'd like to have seen more examples of it. Sounded like it was a big thing because here's Microsoft supporting Apple. I really didn't get a lot of play for that. He says, I like the Nike fitness product. I thought the conference was good. It was, as usual, super hyper-professional. They finished on the second. But what did they tell us about them structurally in the next 2 to 3 years? He said, I don't think it said anything about that. I think, in fact, it almost painted a stone wall in my mind. It was like they were holding their breath and waiting for something else. He also mentioned this, and I'm not going to tell you the whole article. You can pop over and read the rest of it because it's really long. But he kind of echoes a sentiment we have here, in which he says he's shocked about how little Microsoft cared about the Windows platform. There was hardly a single talk about Windows 8 at all. He also mentioned how shocked he is that Windows or Microsoft has abandoned gamers or abandoned its gaming platform.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the gaming platform I am shocked about. Windows 8, no, we've already decided Windows 8 is going to be complete crap. complete crap and worthless because that's just the way it goes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so very hurt by the whole leaving us behind thing. You all could have done a Microsoft version of Roku Box just to get those people for the entertainment value, but those of us that with a gaming console, as it's been going around the web, we really just want a gaming console. I don't necessarily need it to have Netflix on it and Hulu and HBO Go. I need my console, my space to be safe for my gaming. That being said, I'm looking very forward to Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed. I had a dream about them last night.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I'm not even
talking. Did you have your clothes on during the dream?
I had a hood and nothing else, and I was talking through the streets with a little device. Fun. I loved
hood
it.
And nothing else.
That's right. A hood pulled down over my face, you know.
Rawr.
I was hacking cars and popping doors open, and I was just taking joyrides. There you go.
Awesome.
And the funny part is, I'm not making that up. I really did dream that last night.
That's
I really did dream that. It was a lovely dream. I didn't want to get up. That's good fun right there.
That's nuts. All right, well, another week, another zombie story.
Zombie watch.
There's some crazy going on right now, people, and this one is in L.A., so this is two in L.A., two. All right, people, two. Authorities said on Monday that a pair of lungs had been found on a Los Angeles area sidewalk.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. The coroner's investigators are trying to determine if they were human or an animal. The organs were found on Sunday night in an area just outside the city limits. Sergeant Pauline Panis of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office says it's at the coroner's office right now. They're trying to ascertain if it's human or animal. She said it's the first time a pair of lungs has ever been discovered on the streets of Los Angeles while she worked there. She said things are just getting weirder. Folks, seriously, if you're not getting prepared for the zombie apocalypse, you might want to.
I don't know why people don't want to believe us. I had one of my friends say, you guys are just exaggerating. I said, you know, we'll see who has the last laugh when you're getting eaten.
Exactly.
You're getting eaten.
Somebody's on you, eating your face.
It was the eating the face thing that got me. I didn't think it was the face. She said it. No, on you, eating your face. Good morning to Joe.
Good morning, Joe. How are you, Joe?
Joe, we need to talk. Me, you, and your muddlings need to have a talk.
No, you've been neglecting those muddlings.
I came to his island this morning, and my muddling was face down, and I don't know why. His little hands were waving. What is that when they do that?
I don't know. Girl, how addicted I am to this game. My Ginger Rocks account, my idol was busted, and I was like, man, I've got to get my other account. That whole little spell so I can heal it, da-da-da-da. I've been working my butt off the last 2 days to get all the money for it. And then today, I'm over there on that account. I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what's this? Repair. I can repair this with stone? Seriously.
Yes.
Three days, my idol was busted. And
you didn't know? Ginger.
What?
You didn't know you could repair it with stone?
I didn't know.
Shame is shame. Well, those of you who want to be heroes on the go, got some good news for you. Mm-hmm. Majesco, who's the innovative provider of video games for the mass market, announced that its mobile role-playing game, Sci-Fi Heroes, will be available later this summer. This is a free-to-play interstellar adventure that gives players of all ages the chance to lead a team of combat specialists to victory over a galactic evil empire.
Galactic Evil Empire.
Yes, are you hearing the Darth Vader music? As well as the...
No, but I am hearing the whole breathing.
Okay, you also have the opportunity to join forces with your friends to collaboratively complete quests. You can defeat formidable nemesis. Is it nemesis or nemesis? 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 And find rare items. Space explorers can battle to save their universe across more than 40 levels on 4 different planets, each containing unique enemies, landscapes, and bosses. Sci-Fi Heroes is our first internal design mobile game. Mr. Jeffrey Anderson, who's the Senior Vice President of Social and Mobile Games at Majesco Entertainment. With its exciting and innovative gameplay and incredible co-op fun, Sci-Fi Heroes is the perfect title to show what Majesco's new mobile and social offerings strive for. I wouldn't call it that. You guys are like in every bar in the whole United States. You guys know all those little games that sit on top of bars where you play cards and everything? You seen those? Or the little social games at bars, drinking bars. You seen those?
Yeah.
Those are all done by Majesco. Look at the screen the next time. Just about all of them, 100% of them, or 98% of them are made by Majesco. So I say you've been mobile for a long time.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. In Sci-Fi Heroes, the diabolical Calamar Space Horde has ruthlessly conquered... conquered the 4 planets of a once peaceful solar system in a hostile takeover, leaving the fate of the universe in the hands of 8 ragtag space warriors. Facing insurmountable odds, players will take control of these brave underdogs to help restore peace and kick some serious space butt. For information, you can go over...
Space Horde butt.
That could have gone all kinds of wrong. You know,
yeah, I know. I had to stop and see whether or not I was actually hearing that the way it was supposed to have been, or...
Yes, I had to be very careful about how I said that one. Very careful.
That's awesome, though.
But you can go over to scifiheroes.com, and yes, it's spelled the way sci-fi should be, not that S-Y-F-Y business they have over at the Sci-Fi Channel.
I'm so upset that they did that. I can't believe that they did that.
Yeah, go over to scifiheroes.com. Check it out. Tell us if you like it, you love it, you hate it, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You may not be able to tell us anything. The migration is not our friend today. Yeah, crazy stuff going on our site. Oh.
All right, what do we got? Blizzard beefs up security to prepare for real money Diablo 3 auctions.
You should.
You should, because your crap has been hacked since, what, last year? Blizzard is beefing up security ahead of the launch for the real money auction for Diablo 3. In a post on the official forums over at Battle.net, Blizzard detailed some of the security changes that have taken place to ensure that people's very real money associated with their accounts will remain safe and secure. The short explanation is that users will now have to use an authenticator before adding any funds to their balance and when sending funds to their real money auction house accounts. Authenticators, not the end-all of security, folks. They are not. Blizzard on Battle.net. This means you'll need to have an authenticator to add your balance via Battle.net account management or to send the proceeds of your real money auction house sales to your Battle.net balance. Blizzard went on to say that those who have already added funds to their accounts will still be able to use that money, but future transactions will require the use of an authenticator. Blizzard closes by saying that this extra step is a hassle, but it is important to keep transactions secure. While we understand that this creates an extra step for players during the login process, we believe this added layer of account protection will help foster a safer auction house environment for all our players. Yeah, I don't trust it. I don't. I'm sorry. I've seen too many friends who have authenticators who have never shared their accounts have them stolen.
I know I have had mine stolen. Luckily, there was nothing on it because I didn't really want to play World of Warcraft, but I sure do get the note saying, "We're sorry. We believe your account has been hacked. Please click here to change your password."
Exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am crazy, not stupid. I like to point that out. Crazy, not stupid. Okay. All right. So here's some new news. Google has released its first attempt at making its popular Chrome browser work with Windows 8. It is a Metro-style design, very aesthetic, and because the app ignores some of Microsoft's Metro standards, it's actually what people are saying. A few months back, you may have heard that both Google and Mozilla would release a version of their popular Chrome and Firefox browsers targeted at Windows 8. Both companies rightly should, considering that if they don't get on the ball, they could potentially not have their browser tested and ready to go on Windows 8 release day, whenever the hell that is. To get access to the Metro-style Chrome on Windows 8, you do have to subscribe to the Chrome Dev Channel for Windows and download the latest version. Once you have Chrome as your default browser and pinned to the Windows 8 start screen, you're supposed to be good to go. This version of Chrome apparently ignores some of the Metro design ideas that Microsoft has been pushing. When you right-click or press Windows key plus Z, there should be an app bar that pops up at the bottom of the screen. Google, being Google, has opted out to put a more traditional menu bar at the top right corner that you can click for settings and app changes. There's also standard tab browsing that's supposed to be so smooth. According to VentureBeat, however, like IE, Chrome includes their browser for viewing of all kinds of Flash content, but it slightly differs here too because IE10 uses an approved list of sites and Flash content where Chrome just displays everything. You can check out some screens of the Metro-style Chrome somewhere around the internet because they did not give us any. But you can pop around. I kind of like the new Windows layout, and ironically, when we're done with our migration, Ginger got to see sneak peek yesterday. It's going to look amazingly like Windows.
Yes.
It's going to look a lot like the Windows thing. It wasn't on purpose, but I saw it and I liked it, and then I said, hey, when I saw the new Windows, I said, hey, it looks a lot like Windows. So, but very pretty. I think ours is prettier because it's not.
It is.
It's not blue.
Definitely prettier.
It's not blue. It's pretty.
Yes, yes, yes. And while I like blue, it is prettier.
We may be blue sometimes. When it gets cold again, y'all know how I like to change the colors of stuff. I don't think we're going to have any snow this year, though. That snow got out of control last year.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I was trying to read something. It was just falling. I felt like it was in my eyes. It was so... I was just wiping my face like, God, there's no snow. Anyway, what you got?
I've got cheaters. All right, Blizzard warns Diablo 3 cheaters, we will permanently ban you.
Ooh.
Well, it goes without saying, Blizzard is saying it out loud so that Diablo 3 players understand the ramifications of cheating or using exploits. If you do, then you will be swiftly and permanently banned. Any users found using hacks, bots, or modifications of any kind will be permanently banned from Battle.net. Playing Diablo 3 legitimately means playing with the unaltered game client, Doing otherwise violates our policies for Battle.net and Diablo 3, and it goes against the spirit of fair play that all of our games are based on. We strongly recommend that you avoid using any hacks, cheats, bots, or exploits. Suspensions and bans of players that have used or start using cheats and hacks will begin in the near future. Anyone that is shocked or dismayed about being permanently banned for cheating is either in denial or grossly ignorant of how Blizzard operates all of its online-enabled games. Yes, says the people, the makers of WoW, who give, you know, all their level 85s the choice to have the BOA gear, which pretty much makes you a twink, so that all the levels of Battlecraft, you're fighting against these twinks, and you can't twink yourself. It sucks.
Really?
Yes.
I don't do any of those Blizzard games. I'm sorry. Y'all lost me. You know, they lost me. They stopped making the single player of Warcraft, because that was, like I said, what got me in. I didn't want to play with a bunch of people. I like RTS better. I loved playing that. My neighbor used to get, this was before, you know, laptops were all the rage, would carry his big-ass computer across the courtyard to my apartment. And me, him, and anybody else I invited over would do LAN parties. See, that's old school,
wow.
Right there.
Oh, so
that's
so cool. You're talking like the monitors, the big ass box.
That's right.
Monitors.
That's right. And that's when I was going through my Japanese phase. So everything in my house had to be Japanese. So it was low to the floor on my tables.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Everybody would put their little consoles on the table and then sit down and play. We order pizza and, you know, eat the gamer staples, the cereal, the Hot Pockets. Word. Yeah, I know some of you are like, those good times right there. I know what you're thinking. It was good times. Now it's be like, look here, we're going to play some LAN. Go ahead and get on Skype and I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
See, there's all this stuff. It ruined some social aspect. I've seen it in some years now. It's like, just get on. I'm just going to play with you. I'm not coming to your house. I don't feel like driving.
Your house smells funny.
You know what, didn't you even around me too long, because that is something I'd say, girl, that house was smelling funny. I don't know what that smell was. Oh, well, apparently yesterday, you all know, Apple had their Worldwide Developer Conference and made some announcements that may have shocked and astounded you, or some of you might have been like, whatever. But there's some interesting news going on between Apple and Facebook. At the dawn of their rekindled relationship status, Apple was had deeply integrated Facebook into its latest operating system, or they have deeply integrated into iOS 6, which is going to be released later this year to the general public. Apple's senior vice president, Scott Forstall, said that we have been working closely with Facebook to create the best Facebook integration ever. That's right, ever. Mm-hmm. Facebook integration, much like Twitter integration in iOS 5, represents a new social layer that will allow device owners to sign into Facebook once for a socially enriched experience across photos, Safari, Maps, Contacts, Calendar, Siri, Game Center, Notification Center, and the App Store. Users can easily share websites, photos, and locations to Facebook with a few clicks and adjust privacy settings in the process. They can sync their Facebook contacts with their iOS address books, sync birthdays to their calendars. iOS device owners can also tap to update Facebook and Twitter from the Notification Center, and they can also ask Siri to update their status. See, y'all, this is how Skynet starts. This is how it starts. Siri is Skynet. See? Okay, anyway, your Facebook friend is kept up to date across all your iOS devices, automatically updating details, contacts, and schedule events and birthdays in your calendar. The Facebook integration, interestingly enough, even extends to iTunes and the App Store. The in iOS 6, the App Store will feature Facebook like buttons, and users will be able to see which applications their friends like. Also worth noting is that Apple is opening up the API and giving third-party developers access to users' Facebook login credentials so they can add more instantaneous connections to the social network inside their apps. Facebook integration will appear in Mountain Lion on the Mac, according to VentureBeat. While the details of Facebook integration leaked out prior to yesterday's WWDC, Today's reveal proves that Facebook and Apple have moved past their relationship blocks. They're posing together on the red carpet and everything. the companies, which butted head for years, were still sparring as recently as a few months ago, according to VentureBeat sources. Now, in what seems to be a match made in heaven, Facebook will benefit from additional exposure and increased activity, because we all know that IPO sucks. Twitter's experienced a remarkable boost in new users and content since getting baked into the Apple's iOS. And Apple will fill a gaping social hole in its operating system that could help it stand out from Android and the Windows phone. I don't know about that. Android's got that Facebook business locked down from get-go. The beta version of iOS 6 and the SDK are available to developers today. If you're a developer, you'll be able to upgrade to the new operating system this fall. When iOS 6 with Facebook integration is released for the iPhone 4S, iPhone 4, iPhone 3GS, the new iPad, iPad 2, and iPod Touch. So I will not be getting it since I don't have iPad 2. Apple, you all suck. Anyway, moving right along.
Remember, she said it, Apple. It wasn't me.
Sora says, boo, Skynet. That's what Siri is. Siri equals Skynet. Mm-hmm.
It possibly very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is my go. And if I get disconnected, I'm so sorry. The storm is hitting here right now.
It'll be here tomorrow.
I don't know if you can hear it in the background. That thunder is loud. My whole house
It sounds like wind is what it sounds like.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. All right. So UK government gives teachers power to create their own ICT curriculum.
Oh, fine. Why don't we do that here? Oh, my God.
I know, right? The UK government has decided to take the rigid requirements out of information and communications technology, ICT, curriculum, instead allowing teachers to create their own lesson plans and approaches to providing students the things they need to learn. The teachers will still be required to teach ICT. The Department for Education's consultation document announcing the change indicated that the mandatory guidelines were not getting the job done and that educators didn't care at all that much for it. Under the new regulations, schools would still be required to teach ICT at all key stages as part of the national curriculum. Teachers will have the freedom and flexibility to design an ICT curriculum that is best for their pupils. The consultation was initiated on January 18th and ended on April 11th. Public consultation on the matter will remain open until July 11th. Great news announced today by Governor to scrap the ICT curriculum, so schools will be free to teach computer science from September, commented UK Deputy Chair Ian Livingston via Twitter, who is a committed supporter of computer science teaching in schools. All right, I like this in a way, because you don't have to stick to a certain curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm afraid that this is going to allow teachers who may be a little bit older and less less knowledgeable to slack and not give these students the information that they need.
Yeah, and some of them desperately need something. We always assume that the little ones know more about the internet. They know how to get on. They know how to get around roadblocks, but they don't know things that they shouldn't be doing on the internet. We really just need an internet etiquette class for the younger ones. There are certain things you shouldn't be saying on the internet or doing. You shouldn't be posting up pictures, little girls, 12 years old, of your new bra. This is not cute.
No, you're little.
Yeah, you're little, and most parents, you know.
Right now, I only have nephews. I have a niece. Oh, boy.
My cousin, who, there's very few girls in my family. You can count us all in one hand. And my cousin, she's probably 17 years old now, and I believe when she was 15, she was jokingly sneaking in telling me, I have a Facebook. And I said, and when I find it, I'm going to hack it, and it's not going to be a Facebook anymore. You should not have a Facebook without your mom's permission.
Kidding.
And she just laughed, and I said, I am so not playing. I'm sure she'll be texting me this morning. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Yeah, I'm telling on you. I didn't say your name, but I'm going to call you B because that's the first initial. B? Mm-hmm. You know you're not supposed to have that Facebook. Your mom didn't want you to have it. And if I find you on Facebook, you're going down, sister.
You're going down.
She won't tell me her Facebook page either. She knows I'm not joking. She laughs, but she knows I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Anyway, this week something amazing happened.
What do you got?
The Games for Health Project kicks off its 8th annual Games for Health Conference. Yes, Games for Health Conference This is the nation's largest conference dedicated to video games, health, and healthcare. It is going on right now, starting today, June 12th to the 14th in Boston. Man, we should have went to that. The conference is sponsored by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Pioneer Portfolio. It is the leading national health games event that brings together game designers, developers, researchers, medical professionals, educators, entrepreneurs, policymakers, and others to share information about game technology and its application to health. Over 3 days, more than 400 attendees will participate in over 60 sessions led by an array of national and international speakers. Topics at this year's conference will include exergaming, physical therapy, disease management, health behavior change, biofeedback, rehab, epidemiology, training, and health education. The 2012 event includes full tracks on sensors and gamification, exercise, sensory motor rehab, social and virtual worlds, cognitive and emotional health, as well as nutrition. The Games for Health project exists to make large breakthroughs, says Ben Sawyer, conference co-founder and creator of Digital Mill. Initially, that meant increasing belief in the notion that games could result in healthy outcomes. Today, health games as a field and a practice is accepted. The Games for Health conference has shown that games can play an effective role in improving individual health, but it doesn't mean the work is done. More proofs and larger successes are needed. There are several little keynote addresses that we'd love to share with you, but our upgrade is not long enough to share much of anything with you today, but we will have it up eventually on the site probably later in the week if you are up in Boston and you want to go take a look at this, because I don't believe that there is a ban on general public showing up and just kind of listening. Let us know. We'll send you the dates and times of some of the keynotes if you want to pop by and visit. I will tell you this. There's some big names here. Microsoft's there. Digital Mill, the people who made Dance Dance Revolution. Yes. Remember that game? People from the White House are there. New York Times is up there. Yeah. So give us a shot. We'll tell you where you need to go if you want to go sit in on that. Fun, right? Big fun, Ginger? Ginger.
Oh, my God. I'm all muted. I'm all talking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that does sound like fun. All right. So, people, all these Kickstarter programs, you want to know what the success rate of them are? Well, I got the race for you. The success rate of most game-related Kickstarters is one of those stories that will make people wonder whether the glass is half empty or half full when it comes to the statistics of success and failure related to games and Kickstarter.
That depends on what's in the glass is what I'll say is half full.
I know, right?
What's in it?
According to data gathered by Apps Blogger and put into a handy-dandy infographic, almost half of the game projects looking for funding on Kickstarter managed to get funded, while more than half did not. Of the 1,729 game projects, which included card and board games too, around 43% were successfully funded. The data gathered by Apps Blogger also shows that successful projects have shorter durations, on average 38 days, while failed projects are up for an average of 43 days. Finally, the most interesting data is that only 8.5% of fully funded campaigns have received more than double targets. In other words, it's pretty darn rare. All right, so, yeah. Looks like there are 22,902 successful projects and 18,939 sales projects and 3,912 suspended, live projects. There's 0.1%. Suspended projects, so yeah. All right. So
get it out, Ginger. Spit it out.
Fitty-fitty. Whether or not people are going
to
make it.
Oh, my God.
Fitty-fitty.
Oh, my God.
Fitty-fitty.
I don't know. Okay, all I heard was Hank Hill's. What's Hank Hill's father name on King of the Hill? Cotton. Cotton, that's his name.
Cotton.
All I heard was Cotton when you said that. fitty chance.
See, you don't know what to
do. You imitated it perfectly. fitty chance, you're going to get cut. I'm going to cut you Nazis. He didn't say Nazis, just Nazis. Okay, anyway, moving along to Majesco. Again, Majesco says that Zumba Fitness is keeping them alive. Yes, however, they're still not in great shape. Modesco's final results were once again buoyed by the continuing popularity of Zumba Fitness, though the company's revenue fell slightly year on year. For the quarter ending April 30th, 2012 of this year, the company posted revenues of $30.4 million, down 5% year-on-year from $32.1 million. Net profits were $2.7 million, up from the $2.12 million in the same period last year. The company's performance outside of the U.S. improved considerably, with international revenue climbing more than 100% year-on-year to reach $6.5 million, almost a quarter of total revenue for the period. While the overall environment for interactive entertainment remains challenging in both North America and Europe, they said they're very pleased to announce that in the second quarter, sales of Zumba Fitness remained solid, and Majesco delivered another profitable quarter, said CEO Jesse Sutton. Zumba Fitness has now sold over 7 million units worldwide and is the second best-selling fitness game of all time. That's hot, right? Majesco intends to release Zumba Fitness Core and the Kinect title NBA Baller Beast before the end of the year. It recently launched the Facebook game Mini Putt Park and has 4 iOS releases planned for the upcoming months. I do want some Zumba Fitness, but I am scared I'm going to drop dead because I keep telling you all, it is night and day from, Dance Central and Zumba Fitness? It is a night and day. It is not I'm going to get up and dance to a few songs and I might get a little bit sweaty. You're going to sweat within the first minute and be out of breath and dying. That's what I think when the first Zumba, when I got a chance to play it, I had the first Dance Central and had been playing it for months and had, you know, gotten to the hard levels and I'm all dropping it like it's hot. And I'm like, I can handle a little Zumba Fitness.
Not at all.
No. And another one, Just Dance 3, that tightrope song by, I forget that chick's name. Oh, that's another one that kills me. Oh, God. I was like, I can't feel my fingers. And I know there's air, but it's not enough.
You can't feel your fingers dancing.
Yes, it's bad.
All yeah. Right, woman.
Dance Central needs to take some notes. I want to give people a workout. No. Oh, my God. Oh.
We're going to need some video of this.
Mm-mm.
Preferably the one, you know, since you dance naked anyway.
I sure do. Hey, there's nobody in my house with me. Sometimes you got to get your dance on. That's all I'm saying. I have to turn the camera off, though. I was like, or I have to make sure, you know, that setting on the Xbox, do not share camera with friends. Some of you would get a surprise if you pop in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh!
I'm yawning. I need to not yawn because I have a story, but I was yawning.
I got a story, too, but go.
Okay. Royally Magnificent Release. Confirmed. I don't care about that. One of the leading names in entertainment software publishing, the award-winning Focus Multimedia, confirms date of for Hidden Mysteries Royal Family Secrets. Totally piggybacking on all the whole royal thing that's going on this year. Royal Family Secrets is the first game to launch in the Deluxe Edition range, an exciting new collection of casual games from the number one publisher. Bringing majestic hidden objects gaming entertainment to the fore, Royal Family Secrets is a dark and heroic escapade throughout with fantastic historical locations, including the Bloody Tower and Westminster Abbey. The launch comes hot on the heels of Red, White, and Blue frenzy of Jubilee celebrations, although the flotilla was perhaps more relaxed and serene, aside from the weather, and what an utterly stunning performance from the windswept London Philharmonic Orchestra. The deluxe edition of Royal Family Secrets also includes a complete bonus game in Hidden Mysteries Buckingham Palace. Players peel back the curtain of one of the grandest buildings in the world to look for treasure and uncover its deepest secrets. This is a royally great value with 2 great games for the price of 1. Hidden Mysteries Royal Family Secrets Deluxe Edition goes on sale for PC Friday, June 15th, priced at $10.20, Linden's, Frank's, Cookies, Pounds. I'm not sure. I think it's pounds. It's a little L sign, a backwards L sign. Yeah. Anyway, available from focusmm.co.uk.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Remember we were talking about the cookie law?
Yeah. Oh, cookie law?
No, that's some kind of cookies.
oh. The bad cookies.
Yes, the law regarding the use of cookies and user tracking tech has finally changed. This comes at a time when the use of analytics in games and online services is now commonplace, and as a result of the change, the uncertainty that it has brought, it is inevitable that many website and games operators may unwittingly find themselves on the wrong side of the law. The good news is that in the UK, at least, the Information Commissioner's Office, also known as the ICO, who police the law in the UK, said that they aren't going to go all militant on those who may not be fully compliant, so long as they take steps towards doing so. The bad news is, however, that there's a great deal of uncertainty as to what that means and what operators actually need to do to comply. Indeed, that uncertainty exists even among the experts and those policing the new law. For example, at the time of, or right now, or rather, it would appear that the European Commission still isn't complying with its own directive. So it's not surprising that a lot of games companies are wondering what they should do. To help you, there are some lists popping around on the internet. I am not sure. How does that apply to us being here in the U.S.? Are we considered? Yeah, I don't know any of that. Under the old law, if you use cookies and similar tracking devices in your games or website, you had a legal obligation to provide information on them and allow users of your site to refuse to accept them if they wished. Previously, therefore, games operators could deal with this by simply telling users that they use cookies and that if the user didn't like it, they just needed to change their browser settings. However, the new law means that from now on, consent to cookies is only valid if it's freely given, specific, and informed, and here's where the difficulties begin. For one thing, there is an uncertainty as to what freely given, specific, and informed actually means, and the ICO has not provided a definitive approach on that point, but instead has stated that each website operator must determine for itself how to go about obtaining valid consent. Okay, so I'm not going to read this whole thing, terribly long. In any case, if you are in the UK, and we have a lot of you in the UK that listen, you have a website, make sure you are complying. They want you to check what cookies and tracking tech you use. You tell your users what they are and what they do, and do something that could be deemed to mean that users are happy with the use of your cookies. So, basically, just tell everybody the truth. This is kind of makes me kind of nervous. I'm not sure where we fall. We get in trouble.
No.
We have.
Gonna get turned over an E?
Huh? Huh?
I didn't say nothing.
Ooh, you has to let me do this. You has to.
What do you got? What you got?
It's about my man.
Your man?
Yes.
No.
Miyamoto. Shigeru Miyamoto. Yes, I say his name absolutely perfect. Told Entertainment Weekly that the Legend of Zelda series would come to Wii U when Nintendo could figure out how to make it more accessible to a larger audience. Miyamoto cited the difficulty that some users had with Skyward Sword's Wii Motion Plus controls. He said with the last game, Skyward Sword, that was a game where you had motion control to use your weapons and a lot of different items, and I thought that was a lot of fun. But there were some people who weren't able to do that or didn't like it as much and stopped playing partway through it. I loved it! Okay, so we're in the phase where we're looking back at what's worked very well and what has been missing and how we can evolve further. Miyamoto and Nintendo want to open the franchise to a wider audience with a more casual experience. No. One thing that's it's not my link. We're seeing how the way that tastes are broadening in video games, and you have some people who prefer more casual experiences, and you have some people who prefer some sort of the more in-depth experiences. He said, obviously, as a company that's been making games for a long time, we tend to be more on the deeper, longer game side of things. what we continue to ask ourselves as we have over the years is, what is the most important element of Zelda if we were to try to make Zelda a game that a lot of people can play? So we have a number of different experiments going on, and we would decide that we found the right one of those to really help bring Zelda to a very big audience, then we'll be happy to announce it. I am upset. Do not touch my link. Don't mess with my link. Leave him alone. I don't want him casual. And you lazy bums that don't want to get up and swing a sword, go play something else.
Go play something else. Yes, yes, yes.
Boom.
All right. So what have I got? I've got Hoodwink. Yay! evade government forces and get the girl in the Stark multiplayer game set in a post-epidemic future. All right, so Hoodwinked is a brand new PC adventure game set to bring the classic genre bang up to date from Kuala Lumpur based E1 Studio. All right, anyways, with parodies of advertising, political propaganda, and corruption, Hoodwinked has a twisted dark humor set in a colorful dystopia, enhanced by a soundtrack by award-winning composer Leon Willett. You assume the role of Michael Bezel, a smart-mouthed, bumbling scoundrel seeking to turn over a new leaf and settle down with his friend. However, his luck takes a turn for the worse when his final caper lands him in trouble with the government, and he must rely on his wits as he gets further enmeshed in the machinations of the state. In its portrayal of the decaying metropolis of Global 01, Hoodwinked takes a sideways look at the classical genre of film noir? Anyways, using an intuitive point-and-click interface, oh boy, you explore the city populated by all manner of colorful characters, each with their own quirky plans, who will help or hinder you as you solve challenging puzzles to seek out the truth behind the world's last corporation. The world's last corporation? All right.
The last one, that's right, the last one.
The last one. A lot of us grew up on adventure games with an emphasis on witty dialogue and storytelling. Hoodwinked is a return to the classic gaming genre, says Amir Irwan, executive producer at E1 Studio. Players roguish nature is just an average Joe seemingly powerless against forces much larger than him. Fulfilling dreams and surviving against the odds are human elements that resonate with us, and it is these elements that help to create a memorable gaming experience. Awesome. So anyways, this is called Hoodwink. Looks like it's going to be priced at £14.99, London, francs, little elf sign, I think that's euros, pounds, anyways. Yeah, it's translated text versions in German, French, simplified Chinese, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, and Italian will also be available at launch.
It be sounding interesting. I don't know what's worse, that I'm crazy or that you're crazy with me.
No, that's not worse. That's awesome.
Somebody get us some jackets and some pills. The jackets that buckle in the back.
Yeah. It needs to have the pretty silver buckle. I'll hug myself.
See? Everybody needs to give themselves a hug.
Yes. It's like a hug in 10 seconds.
Well, here's a new interesting game that's made its way onto the Xbox Live Arcade. Not that you'd be able to find it the way that it's set up now, but it is really a good game. I think you should check it out if you can. Y'all stop tweeting me and stuff. No, kidding. Don't stop tweeting me. A game called PID has found a home on Xbox Live Arcade with D3 Publisher. The publisher, I don't know how they're saying their name. Today, Might and Delight, developer of high-quality games based in Sweden, D3P, a publisher and developer of interactive entertainment software, announced their partnership to bring the stunning world of PID to Xbox Live. Having partnered in the tail end of production, the vision has been entirely that of Might and Delight, while D3 Publishers' years of publishing experience will solidify PID as a stunning success. It really is a gorgeous-looking game. It's a platformer, and I'm actually interested in playing because it's gorgeous. And I don't mean realistically gorgeous. You know, some of you think graphics and you think realistic looking graphics. It's just beautiful. It's very whimsical. Anyway, Miss Wendy Young, who's the managing director at Might and Delight, said this is a fantastic opportunity to share PID. Wow, don't choke, Corey. With as wide as an audience
as possible. Don't choke.
Woo. Since we're maintaining complete creative control and combining that with the distribution support of a great publisher, since we're entirely thrilled to have PID join our roster of great titles for all gamers. That's from Bill Anker, who's the Vice President of Business Development and Licensing at D3P. He said PID is a unique game, and we know people will love it when it launches later this year. I want to play it. It really is pretty. Of course, in the fantastic world of PID, or PID, the player's unique and eccentric journey unfolds as the young protagonist is stranded on a remote planet. Players hone their gaming abilities through creative approaches to gravity-bending action, intricate puzzle solving, and collaborative action.
overcoming larger-than-life obstacles and truly original enemies and characters. Throughout the course of the adventure, players will be challenged to outwit a variety of quirky robots and befriend unlikely allies on their quest to face off against a ruler that has no intention of letting anyone leave the planet. Okay, so PID will be available on the Xbox Live Arcade, and if that's not your cup of tea, you can also pick it up on Steam and the PlayStation Network. You can also go over to PIDgame.com and check it out over there. It's pretty. I want to play it. Much like I wanted to play, I remember, War of the Worlds. If you all have not played War of the Worlds on the Xbox Live Arcade, you are missing out.
I have not, but now I think I want to.
Oh, my God. It is so, so awesome. Remember, I said it looked awesome. It really is. And it is very old school. I had to point this out to you all again. When you die, you die. You don't start
you
all
die,
over.
You die, you die.
Yeah, you don't start all over from the beginning, but there is no, you know, you die and you got an extra life. You do have to start at the beginning of that particular little area that you're in. And it's very fast-paced, so it's not a platformer where you have time to pause and look. You just got to keep it moving, because if you're not moving, they're going to get
you. Keep it moving, folks. Keep it moving.
They're going to come and get you. The little aliens, they got the little floating robots. They got the big one. Oh, and I will tell you, the scene where you're running across, not the scene, but the part where you're running across the roof,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to outrun the big, because it's a mix of the old War of the Worlds, the original movie from, you know, way back in the day, the 20s, 40s, whenever the hell it came out, and the newer one from Tom Cruise's thing. There's a mixture of those two robots. And there's one that comes up from behind the house, and when you're running across the roof, and he's tearing the roof down, and you got to run, and it's not fake. You can't stop and go, oh, if I stand here, I won't fall. No, you will fall if you do not keep moving. And that noise has always unnerved me, that from Tom Cruise's ear. I was like, oh, God. I'm playing it in the dark. I'm screaming. That's good fun right there. You have to play it. And it's cheap. It's cheap, good fun. You pick it up on a rainy day like where Ginger is and close your blinds and get your blanket. Just sit down and just play. You'll love it. I promise you, you'll love it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Good, good game.
Fortunately, Ginger's going to go brave the storm in just a little bit. All right. So starting this weekend, Secret World Beta Weekend. Yay! This is the third beta weekend. Secret World, seriously, come on. Where's my invite?
Ooh.
Y'all made me go there. Y'all made me go there. Funcom is thrilled to invite thousands of gamers from all over the world into the bowels of hell itself in the third beta weekend for the company's highly anticipated modern-day massively multiplayer online game, The Secret World. Starting on June 15th at 9 a.m. PDT and ending on June 17th at 11:59 PDT, gamers will be able to explore a wealth of new content that was not available in the two previous beta weekends, including the Dragon and Illuminati starter experiences. Yay! Where areas in previous beta weekends got to sample only the Templar starter experience and the troubled town of Kingsmouth, this weekend the game will be opened up to include the massive region known as the Savage Coast, as well as two epic dungeons, the Polaris and Hell Rising. This represents only a fraction of content available at launch, but still spans over dozens upon dozens of hours of pure gameplay. The best way to gain access to the beta weekend is to pre-order The Secret World. This grants access to all beta weekends leading up to launch. Funcom has also teamed up with major partners all over the world this week, including world-leading hardware manufacturer NVIDIA, to conduct a massive giveaway of keys that will enable play for this weekend only. I'll be looking into that. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Funcom is also excited to share that over 1.3 million gamers are now registered as potential beta testers for The Secret World, shattering all previous company records, including that of its previous MMO, Age of Conan. The company is regularly inviting more and more people into the ongoing and very successful closed beta. A recent survey among the tens of thousands of testers who have played in the closed beta confirms that the vast majority is enjoying the game and will play it at launch. Yeah, I want to play. I want to play. Let me in. Let me in. Funcom, please. Let me in.
Poor Ginger.
Let me in.
All right, I'm actually posting this on Twitter as I'm saying it because this just popped into my mailbox. Congratulations to Dr. Jop Hartinson, who invented Bluetooth while working at Ericsson in the 1990s. He's been nominated as a finalist by the European Patent Office in the industry category for its European Inventor Award. Bluetooth, in case you have no idea what it is a low-energy peer-to-peer wireless technology and was born in an Ericsson lab in Lund, Sweden in the 1990s and became a global standard of short-distance wireless connection. After 10 years in 2008, the amount of Bluetooth-enabled devices shipped had already reached 2 billion. Today, technology is used not only by mobile phones and PCs, but also by almost all consumer electronics devices, medical and health devices as well, and sports and fitness devices, cars, and smart homes. Ericsson, of course, has been focusing on research and development activities ever since its dawn in the 1800s. Technology leadership, you didn't know they'd been around that long, did you, Ericsson? 1800s, that's right. Technology leaders has been supporting the company's competitive edge and business development. The final European Inventor of the Year will be announced on June 14th this year. Available, wait a minute. I hate when they do this. Ericsson, clean up your things when you send it. Anyway, that's amazing. Congratulations. I think you're going to get it. That's an amazing invention. I had no idea who invented it or where it came from, but amazing. Came from Sweden.
Interesting.
Do you know the Pentium chip was invented here?
In the U.S.?
Yes.
Seems like I knew that.
Mm-hmm. We invented the Pentium.
That is cool, because that's because we're awesome.
That's right.
All right. Seriously, there's like no interesting news today.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left.
All right. The race for the White House game coming in June. Play as a real-world candidate or enter the 2020 presidential campaign yourself.
Send me the link. You know I got to play it. Send the link.
I will. A fascinating political game. Da-da-da-da-da. Become a 2012 presidential candidate yourself in Everson's latest political simulation game, The Race for the White House, starting in a few weeks. Dive into the battle of the presidential election with a super realistic political simulation. The Race for the White House is intriguing for political neophytes and political junkies. You control all the components of the campaign, travel around the country, announce policy statements and political promises, manage the campaign budget, establish campaign headquarters, put on TV ads, organize rallies, gather donations, debates or the election night results, and even use dirty tricks, fun stuff like spreading scandalous rumors, stealing campaign cash, and sabotage.
Ooh, I gotta play that. Uh-huh. Gotta play it.
Choose your candidate from a wide list of real political figures with 3D animated faces and hours of dialogue with impersonation, and then take on an opposing candidate controlled by the computer or another human player on the internet. Two game modes are realistic, running with actual campaign budgets and voting polls, or equal start, giving same budget and polls to candidates. The Race for the White House will be available for PC and Mac on Thursday, June 28th. iPad, iPhone, and Android release dates will be announced shortly. All right, the official website is, are you ready for it? TheRaceForTheWhiteHouse.com. TheRaceForTheWhiteHouse.com.
All right. I also would like to give some love to our lovely Felicia.
Felicia, I want to have your babies.
She's just updated her new blog, and she is talking about something we talk about here quite often. Some of you, and we're not talking to our boys who listen, you guys who come and support us every day and every Thursday night, we love you dearly. We give you a hard time, but that's only because we love you. But you need to talk to some of your tribe and tell them, cut it out. Really? Really? Some of you are still acting this way? Anyway, pop over and check out Felicia's blog. Makes some very interesting points. Just so you know, we're not the only ones that feel the way we do. It's FeliciaDay.com/blog/gamer-girl-country-boy-flame-fest. If you're not able to find it, find us on Google+. It's one that I just favorited. And let Felicia know not all of you are crazy. And talk to your tribe. Maybe they understand you. If you speak boy, then maybe they understand you, because we don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's that time for us to go anyway. Ginger, yeah. By the way, I'm going to need that. Ginger, they want you to tweet that link, because apparently you're not. I'm not the only one that finds that game interesting.
All right.
Joe and I have similar gaming tastes.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. If Joe and I have similar gaming taste. I love me a good simulator. I get to be president for a little while. I could do that.
There you go. I just tweeted it.
Anyway, we will see you lovely people later on tonight when we do Pixinista. And guys, you can stop by too. We're going to be looking at some of the, as the little English lady would stop yelling in my ear, some of the things to pick up for summer, gaming t-shirts. You got to start buying some of these, guys. Support your gamers. And we have a few, too. We're not ready to release our summer line, but we can show you where you can get some other cool gaming t-shirts, ones we like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this, Ginger. You ready?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. What are we doing? Oh, yeah.
Intense.